Today's share is Masechta Bava Daf Tzadiches. We will begin on Daf Tzadiches Amud Aleph, the fourth line. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Azari Machbeya Shel Chaveri Liyam HaGadol. If somebody throws somebody's coin into the Yam HaGadol, Potter, he's Potter. My Tama, asked the Gemara, why is this the Halacha? Says the Gemara, the person who threw that coin could say to the owner of that coin, Damalai, he could say to the person who owns the coin, Hi, Monakame, the coin is right here. Ibana, Ibai, if you want to, Shakloi, the halacha is, you could just go and take it. And the basis of this entire Gemara, as we get into the Shurim, is that our Gemara is teaching us that Groma ben Nezakin, somebody who causes indirect damage, and Mitzvah Shem we will be discussing quite extensively Groma and Garmi, but this, the Gemara is considering a situation of Groma ben Nezakin, and since it's considered a situation of Groma ben Nezakin, that's why he's Potter, to which the Gemara comments, the Hani Mili, when would that be the Halacha? Betzlulin, when the water into which this coin was thrown is clear water, the kachazile, that the person who the coin belongs to can see the coin. Avalt achurin, if the water is cloudy, the loy kachazile, that the person cannot see the water as it was thrown into that water, then the halacha is potter. So there's a machlokes rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. Some rishonim explain this Gemara as it seems. If the coins are visible, then he'll be potter. If the coins are not visible, he shall not be potter. Taisus seems to learn that it doesn't depend on the visibility of the coin. But Taisus rather says that the point that the Gemara is focused on is not clear or cloudy water, is it retrievable? If it's retrievable, then that's the factor that the Gemara says that the person who threw it in will not be held responsible. However, if it's not retrievable, then the person who threw it in will be chayif. Furthermore, says the Gemara, v'hani mili, when is it said that the person who threw it in will not be held responsible? The adye aduye, he didn't directly throw it in. That means he knocked the hand of the person who was holding the coin, and the person dropped the coin into the water. Avashakli biyade, if the person actually took the coin and threw it directly into the water, so that point, megzligzalye, the person who knocks the coin directly into the water is considered a gazlan, and as we've learned consistently throughout our shurim, a gazlan has the halacha for heishiv as a gzeila shegazal that he has to return what he stole, and therefore it wouldn't make a difference if it's retrievable, if it's not retrievable, it wouldn't make a difference. And as all the mefarshim explain, there's a difference in halacha between a mazik and a gazlan. A gazlan, the Torah Kedoshah says, v'heishiv z'gzeila ashegazal, you have to return what you stole. And since you must return what you stole, you have to do whatever it takes to return it. And as the Rishonim go on to explain, the Shach makes this point as well. Even though it was not the intention of this person to actually steal the coin, so it doesn't make a difference. At the point that you took the coin, the halacha, you had the coin directly in your hand, the halacha labels you as a gazlan, and once the halacha labels you as a gazlan, you have the obligation of a heishiv as a gzeila ashegozel. But on the other hand, if you didn't actually hold on to the coin, so then you're only a mazik. And as much as our Masechta is speaking about the obligations of a mazik, the halacha of a heishiv as a gzeila wasn't said in that case, and therefore the halacha is different, and therefore under those circumstances those circumstances, you would not be held responsible. I saw that the Paiskim discussed a situation where there are two partners in a business, and one of the partners had a concern that the other partner may be embezzling money. And he went and hired a investigator to determine if that is indeed the case. And the investigator came back with evidence that there is such a situation going on. And the question is, so now he confronts his partner, and after the partner was confronted, he has to, of course, pay back what he took illegitimately. But now the question is, can this partner who had spent money on getting a investigator to do this research ask for payment? So the Paiskim say it's very similar to our Gemara. Because our Gemara, it says if somebody causes a loss, even though he caused the loss, and he's considered a mazik, but if he didn't actually do an act of kinyan, then the halacha is that he can't, and he can retrieve the money, he should retrieve the money by himself. And they want to say, therefore, in this case as well, it's not clear, as we mentioned earlier, what does it mean it's retrievable? Because the Gemara that we quoted the Machlokes Rishonim, is the water clear? Is the water not clear? Is it easily retrievable? So since it's not clear that he needed to have a private investigator help him determine that there was embezzlement going on, so the other partner says, you could have made that determination yourself, and therefore you're not entitled to ask for reimbursement for that expenditure on the private investigator, on the investigator to find that I was embezzling the money. Says the Gemara, Masav Rava, ask the Gemara that, as we've now learned, there are different halachas regarding a mazik and a gazlin. We learned a brisa, Eimachal Amor Shlein B'Shusai, that the halacha is that Maisa Sheini, as we mentioned often, the first and the second, the fourth and the fifth years of the Shemitah cycle are years where Maisa Sheini is given. And if somebody has difficulty in bringing the actual Maisa Sheini to Yerushalayim, he can redeem it on money. So says the Braisa, Eimachal Amor Sheini B'Shusai. You can't use money that's not in your possession. What does that mean? Says the Braisa, Kaitz at Hoyemos Makam B'Kastadra. If somebody has cash available in a place called Kasatra, which is not easily accessible, it was dangerous to travel there, Oy Har HaMelech, or he has money in Har HaMelech, which is again a place that's difficult to access, or Shenofel Anakol Yom HaGadol, his wallet is in the sea, Eimachalim, because the money is not considered in your possession. So why over here, asked the Gemara, is money that was thrown into the yam, money that was thrown into the ocean, considered in your possession? Amar Rabba, says the Gemara, you can't compare the two situations. Shani Linya Maisa, because when we speak about Maiser, the Torah Kedoshah says, the halach is being a motzib yudecha, money which is easily accessible. The Rechman Amar, because the Torah, when it speaks about the redemption process, says "v'tzarta hakesa biyotcha," it has to be money biyotcha that's easily accessible. V'leka, and if the water is in the ocean, even if it's in a place where it is accessible, it's not biyotcha, and therefore it can't be used for the redemption of Maisa Sheni. V'amar Rabba, hashaf matbeis shel chaveroi. If somebody rubbed out somebody else's coin, and by rubbing out the coin, what happened is the image on the coin was rubbed up. Potter, he's not chayiv for the devaluation of that coin. My tama, what's the reason? Says the Gemara, v'loy havid v'loy midi. It's not considered that he really did anything of significance that he should be held responsible. But comments Rava, Hanimili the Machia Bekarnosa, that he just hit it with a hammer, Vitarshe, and he smoothed it out, but he didn't make and he didn't cause any of the weight, any of the actual metal to be lost. Aval, the Shaifa B'Shafina, if he rubbed it in a way, the Chsurim Chasrei, that he caused that he should lose part of the metal, then the halacha would be that he's chayiv. And the Rishonim explain. Rashi explains that the bottom line here is that all the cases that al Gemara, you will not be chayiv, is because it's a grama ben azakin. And the way Mordechai explains Rashi's opinion, why over here is it a grama ben azakin? Because if you have the coin and you have the proper amount of metal, all you need to do now is find somebody to put the image back on. And that's called only a grama ben azakin. So this is a very difficult explanation that many achronim have difficulty understanding. And what will happen if somebody makes somebody else's suit dirty? So now I made you somebody else's suit dirty, and he's going to have to take it to the cleaners, and whatever the cleaners are going to charge to clean it, would I not be responsible to pay? So why is this different? So I say that, so I saw a number of explanations. Here, indeed, in most coins, in most silver and gold utensils, if I would take off what makes it into, if I have an engraving, I would be chayiv. But over here, the coin, the primary value of the coin was not the image on the coin. The primary, this is the way that Evan Ozel explains the Gemara, the primary value of a coin was really with the value of the metal. And as our Gemara keeps on responding, saying the value of the metal is there because none of the metal was lost. And therefore, the Evan Ozel, in explaining Rashi's opinion, says just taking off the image is not taking off, is not considered ruining the coin, that the person who did it should be held responsible. That's one pshat that I saw. The Chazon Ish seems to learn, I think what the Chazon Ish means to say is like this. If you damage somebody's suit, you made somebody's suit dirty. So it seems that the Chazon Ish's opinion is that the halacha does not immediately require that you have to pay to clean the suit. It would only depend if the suit is wearable or not. And the Chazon Ish seems to say that if the suit is wearable, even though I, of course, would prefer not to wear a dirty suit, but if it's not wearable, says the Chazon Ish, that's not called a mazik. But in most cases, when you make a suit dirty, the person who owns that suit is not going to walk around with that type of a suit. But in our Gemara, says the Chazon Ish, since it's very similar to what Evan Ozenel said, the main point of a coin is the metal in the coin. And the metal in the coin is still there. And since the metal in the coin is still there, that's not considered you made a significant act of damage. So I saw that the Sefer Mishpatei HaTorah has a very interesting discussion. Every dollar bill has on it a series of numbers. What would be the halacha if somebody erased those numbers somehow or covered up, put a pen on top of those numbers? Would he be considered a mazik? Did it to somebody's dollar bill or whatever, $100 bill? The halacha is that, what would be the halacha to somebody did that to somebody else's dollar bill? Would one be held responsible enough or not? And his point and his position is that, of course, somebody who would do so would be held responsible. Because, he says, and it's very much in line with what we're learning here, only in a case like as we've been explaining our Gemara, where what you did not make the coin permanently not usable, because you have the weight of the metal, which, as we keep on explaining, is what is the main main value of the currency. But a dollar bill or any denomination without those numbers is worthless. And therefore, just like in our Gemara, if you would make the coin worthless, everybody would agree that you're held responsible. In such a case, you should be held responsible as well. Mos of Rava, says the Gemara, ask Rava, we know, we've spoken, that the Torah Kedosha speaks about that an owner who injures his Eved Kanani and causes any of the 24 Roshi Avarim to be damaged, the Aloch is, the Eved goes out, and that's, as we've been learning, called Shen V'ayin. So the Braisa speaks about such a situation. He called Enoi. If the owner hit his Eved on his eye, V'simoi, and he caused him to go blind, Aloznoi on his ear, V'chirsho, and he caused him to go deaf, Eved Yotze Ben L'Cheris, these would be reasons for the Eved to go out free. However, if he, as we discussed in other times, Keneged Enoi, he didn't actually hit him on the eye. He banged on the wall next to the eye. And because of that, the trauma caused that he now cannot see. Keneged Oznoi, Veina Shemeya, and he did the same regarding his hearing. In all these cases, Ein Eved Yotze B'Lecheres, the Eved doesn't go out. So we see that in this case, that even though he didn't actually damage the ear, all he did was they took away the ability for him to hear. So it's still considered as if he injured him, that it should go out. And the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara's question, why should that not be considered only a grumma? And as we're learning throughout our shir, when it's only a grumma, you're not chayiv. Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Tamei, Rabbi's following his own opinion. Dama Rabbi, we know, Rachman Tzlan, if somebody hits a parent, the halach is, he's chayiv misa. If somebody causes a parent to become deaf, nereg. But the question is, the person who does so to a parent is only chayiv if he made a chabura, a real wound. Where is the wound here? He just made him deaf. Because, explained Rabbi, yef shel charisha b'loy chabura. Even though we don't see it, there is a chabura here. Because what must have happened to cause this parent to become deaf, tips of the Dama Nafle Be'une, there must have been some sort of a blood burst, and that would cause that the parent goes out free. And that would cause that it's considered a real wound, a real injury. So the question that many Rishonim ask, that if somebody makes somebody a cheresh, it's not noticeable. A person who becomes deaf, Rachman Tzlan, Le'eleinu V'Lei Aleichem, doesn't look any different than a person who's not deaf. And we've learned that you're only chayiv by Hezek HaNikr. Why is this not considered Hezek Sheneinikr? So I saw two approaches in the Rishonim. One approach Tosfos would suggest is that even though a person who's deaf doesn't physically look different, he of course acts different because he unfortunately can't hear. And since he unfortunately can't hear and he acts different, that's enough that it should be considered a mum shebegoli. Another pshat is that a mum shebegoli means as long as there is a aver, as long as there's an aver that is affected, and that aver, that organ, is an organ that we all can see, that's considered enough to be, that's enough to be considered a mum shebegoli. Moreover, the Emek Shaila, based on this Gemara, says that for something to be considered a chabura, even if it's a wound, even if it's an injury, our Gemara is teaching us that an injury is not considered an injury unless there's blood involved. And that's why the Gemara went out of its way to say that the reason if somebody makes a parent deaf, he's chayiv, is because there must have been tips to the dam and nafle b'odni. Seemingly, the Gemara is saying if there would be no blood involved, he would not be chayiv. V'amar Rabbah continues the Gemara, Hatsoyren oizen parasoy shel chaveroy. If somebody made a nick in the ear of the cow of somebody else, potter, then he's not chayiv for what He did. But explain the Rishonim. We're speaking over here by an animal that was not designated as a carbon. But if this animal was designated as a carbon, so of course if somebody takes the animal which was designated as a carbon and he now makes it into Baal Mum, he will be considered a mazik. That's certainly Taisuk's opinion. There are Rishonim that disagree and say this Gemara is speaking about even an animal that was designated as a carbon. Says Gemara, my tama, part of the kaimi. The cow that has this nick on the ear is still the same cow. The loyav v'loymidi. He didn't really do an act of hezek. You'll say it is an act of hezek because now this animal cannot be used for carbon. Says the Gemara, v'kulish farim lavu gabim mizbeach kaimi. All animals were not meant to be used for carbon. Moshe Rava asks Rava, the Braisa teaches us, Oysa Melachim Mechatis. We know that somebody who's Tomei Mace in the time of the Beis HaMikdash doesn't have a full Tahara unless we sprinkle on him from the mixture of the ashes of the Parah Adumah with the water. And the halacha is that if the Parah Adumah or the water was used for any work, then it becomes disqualified. So says the Braisa, Oysa Melachim Mechatis, or Paras Chatis, or he does any work with the Parah Adumah, Pata B'dinei Shemayim, Pata B'dinei Adam, B'chayiv B'dinei Shemayim. There is an interesting question, what is Pshat, the Oysa Melacha B'mechatis? Does it mean that even before the ash of the Parah Adumah was mixed into that water, the halacha is you're not allowed to do any work with that water, or is it only after the water was mixed in? Machlokes Rishayim. But ask the Gemara, Melacha hu d'lo minka chazeka. Why over there would you not be held responsible? Because when somebody sees this water, you can't notice that it's was worked with. Avol tsayrim. But when you nick the ear of an animal, even though it's not a very serious damage, but it's noticeable. The minka chazeka. Isn't the Braisa teaching us that in such a case you would be chayv hachnam v'chayv bnei adam? Says the Gemara, no, that's not what the Braisa means to tell us. Hu adin dafilu tsarim, even if you nick the ear of a cow, potter, you won't be held responsible. Hakamash malon. But what's the Braisa, this other Braisa coming to teach us? The filu malacha de la minka hezeka. That even though we learn that a hezek shed a nicker loish me hezek, still a person will be chayiv b'din shemayim. He'll be held responsible b'din shemayim. It's not something that we could take, Beznik could take payment, but you certainly caused a serious damage and you would be held responsible. Vamarabba, sorry, shtar shel chaveri. If somebody has a document that indicates that somebody owes them money and somebody else goes and burns that document, potter, then the person who burnt it, potter. Domalei, because the person who burnt it could say that Nairi Kaliminach, all I did was burn a simple piece of paper. And the Mefarshim point out that even in a case where by having burnt the document, the other party says, well, now I don't owe you any money and you won't have any proof, it doesn't seem to make a difference. The Rishayim do say that even though the Bryce is teaching us that your potter, what potter means is your potter b'dinei Adam, but your chayiv b'dinei Shemayim if you intended to do damage. Maskel Rabban Vachama. So Rabban Vachama tries to understand, hey chidomi, exactly what are the circumstances being discussed here. Edis akasadi diyadim ahav b'shtari, if there are edim that could testimony, that could offer testimony, what it said in the shtar. So why is this considered such a serious act? Lichtav le shtar amalia. Let them write another. Let them just write another shtar. V'delekasadi. But we can't find any witnesses. So ask the Gemara. V'delekasadi anam man yedinim. How would we know? Does machlokes rishonim? What does it mean that there are edim that could testify on what it says in the shtar? Some Rishonim say that all that's required is that there should be edim that could testify that they know that this person owes the other person money. Other Rishonim say that that is inadequate. You only could rely on Edim where the Edim could say that we know that this shtar was a shtar mekuyim, a certified shtar. Amar Rava, so Rava says, Teba Meminoi. The Bryce is speaking about a case that the person who the shtar is coming out against says, I believe what this person saying, and I believe whatever he says, it says in the shtar, is true. So since he's believing whatever it says, so the burning of a piece of paper is not considered an act of mazik, because he's saying, if that's what it said, and I owe you the money, so I owe you the money. There's a very interesting application of this Gemara that the Chishuk Echemet teaches us. The Chishuk Echemet says, what we know that one may not consume meat without a proper siman kashrus on the meat. So what would be the halacha if there's a piece of meat and that had on it a proper kosher stamp, kosher siman, and then somebody went and took it off, ruined it, ripped it in a way that this meat can no longer be considered kosher, and there's no halachic means of being able to prove that this meat is kosher. So the Chishuk Echemet says that that would be a situation that we're discussing in our shiur here, that just like if somebody ripped up somebody else's shtar, burnt the other person's shtar, and there's no way to be able to retrieve and read and determine that this money is owed, here too, that would be the halacha that this person would be held, that this person would be held responsible. Amar Rav Dimi, says Rav Dimi, Hada Rabba, this that we're learning in our Gemara, this thing that Rabba just taught us, that if somebody burns somebody else's document, Rava says he's potter, says the Gemara, is really a machloikis of Rav Shimon and Rabbanan. We spent a lot of time earlier in our Masechta discussing the halacha of Dal Vehei, that if somebody steals an animal, a shor or a sef from someone else, and he slaughters it or he sells it, you have to pay Dal Vehei. The Gemara taught us that the Torah Gedoshu, when it teaches us this halacha, says, V'gunav mibeis ish, and Chazal say, mibeis ish, v'loi mibeis hegdish, that if you stole from Hegdish, it doesn't apply. But then Rav Shimon said that, as we know, there are two ways how somebody could donate an animal for a carbon. It could either be that he said, Harei Zeh, that he designates this specific animal, or he designates, Harei Elai, I have responsibility to bring a carbon. And we learned that Rav Shimon's opinion is that if the way it was designated was by Harei Elai, so if somebody steals an animal from someone else, now that person is going to have to bring a different animal, because the way he took the responsibility of the carbon upon himself was by saying Harei Elai, even though the animal that it was stolen was Hegdish. And we just learned the limud of Mebeis Ish V'loi Hegdish, but Rav Shimon taught us the concept of Dava HaGorim L'mamin K'mamin Dami. If you cause somebody a financial loss, indirectly even, it's considered like you caused a loss. And here too, if by you stealing this animal, the person from whom you stole the animal is now going to have to find another animal to bring, then you're considered, then you're chayiv dal vehei. Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon da'amah, Dava Agayrim L'mamin K'mamin Dami. Rav Shimon who holds that Dava Agayrim L'mamin K'mamin Dami, so somebody who burns somebody else's shtar is a Agayrim L'mamin, and he'll be Chayiv. Rabbanan Amri, Dava Agayrim L'mamin Laf K'mamin Dami. So since the shtar is not actual Mamin, you won't be Chayiv. Maskel Rav Huna Breid Rav Shua, Aim the Sham Rav Shimon. When did Rav Shimon introduce the concept of Dava Garel Mamin K'mamin Dami, but Dava Shikra Mamin? We started with an animal, which is certainly halachically considered Mamin. Kedravid, Amar Rava, as Rabbi taught us, Gozel Chametz L'fnei Pesach, if somebody stole Chametz before Pesach, or ba acher, and somebody comes with sarfa b'moyed and burns it on Erev Pesach after the zman, potter. Why is it not considered that he did it an act of mazik? Shehakol mitzuyim mitzum levari. And from here we see that the mitzvah of burning chametz is not a mitzvah that's limited to the owner of the chametz. It's a mitzvah that every one of us has to burn the chametz. And I saw there are two ways of understanding that halacha. Some say it's midin arvis, kol yisrael arevim zeh lazeh. Each one of us has a responsibility to make sure that all of us are doing what the halacha requires. And since a Jew may not own chametz on Pesach, I have the obligation to make sure that my other Jews' chametz is burnt. Or it's a din in chametz, that we all have to see that all chametz should be burnt. Shaka mitzvun lelov levaroi, lacha Pesach, but if it's after Pesach, so although the chametz, it's chametz shavol of a Pesach, but there's no chiv to burn that chametz, that's a machloikis of Rav Shimon Rabbanan. Because chametz after Pesach, even though it's not mamon, why is it not mamon? Because it's also b'hanah. But if somebody would take that chametz and give it back, if somebody had stolen that chametz and gave back that chametz after Pesach, we've learned it would be considered that if he fulfilled the obligation of a heshev gzeil shegozel, he could always say on the chametz that he's giving back, harei shelcha lefanecha. So says the Gemara, this would be the subject, this chametz after Pesach, is machlokes Rav Shimon Rabbanan. According to Rav Shimon Davidovakarim Lamamun Kamamundami, so that's why it's chayiv, because you are ruining something. Rabbanan Davidovakarim Lamamun Kamamundami, so then the halacha is yipater. So says the Gemara, this is only by chametz, which at one point had some value. And that's why, even though now it's osa b'hanah, Rav Shimon says we could apply to it the concept of davar garim l'mamun k'mamun dami, and the Rabbanim disagree. But, asked the Gemara, b'davar she'enik r'mamun, ashtar, mi amrinin, did Rav Shimon say that we say davar garim l'mamun k'mamun dami? We're going to now begin discussing a new concept. We've learned many times the halacha of Grumma ben Zaken, that Potter Medina Adam Chai Bedina Shemaim. We've certainly learned the halacha many times of Masik. If somebody damages someone else, then he's Chayiv as a Masik. Now the Gemara introduces the concept of Garmi. And the question is, what is the halacha by Garmi, and what is Garmi? Says the Gemara, Amar Meyema, Man the Don Dina the Garmi. Somebody who says that if you did damage by Garmi, you're going to be Chayiv. Magmibe Dmei Shtar Ma'alya. This case of burning somebody else's Shtar, he says, is considered a situation of Garmi. And therefore, if you hold your Chayiv for Garmi, you're going to be Chayiv. But if you don't hold your chayiv for Garmi, so then this is a case of Garmi, and you'll only pay the value, only pay the value of a plain piece of paper. So what is the difference between Garmi and Groma? So one definition, one is, Garmi is where you did the actual damage. You burnt the shtar, al gemara. That's what the Rashbam says. Groma is if you put something in the hands of a chereshoit of a cotton, that's, you didn't do the actual damage. That's the Rashbam's differentiation between groma and garmi. The Mordechai says that garmi is when you're doing the damage on the actual object that belongs to somebody else. That's called garmi. Groma means that the act wasn't done to the actual object that was damaged. It only secondarily got damaged. The Mukhi Yosef says the difference between groma and grami is that by grami, the damage will certainly be happen. By groma, it's not certain. the rush in summarizing what Garmi represents requires a number of conditions. To be considered Garmi is that you have to have done it yourself. You have to do it directly with the object that belongs to somebody else. And it has to be a situation that will, the damage will certainly happen. The Re in Tosfos in Masechta Baba Basra says that the difference between Garmi and Groma is that by Garmi, the damage happens immediately, but Groma, it happens with a delay. The Meiri says that Garmi requires Kavanosa Lahazik, that you had intention to do damage, and you yourself were involved in causing the damage. If you weren't the sole perpetrator of the damage, the Meiri says you wouldn't be considered Garmi. The Ritzbah says that there really is no halacha difference between Garmi and Groma. And as we've been learning, Groma ben Zaken is not chai b'deina Adam, and that would be the halacha by Garmi as well. And the whole chiv of Garmi is a special knas that Chazal instituted for Garmi, and when it's common and likely that the damage would happen, Chazal instituted a knas. In other words, it really should be, according to Ritzvah, the same halacha by Garmi and Groma. And you should be potter, according to Ritzvah, by both of them. The reason Yechayiv is because Chazal wanted to institute a special knas, but they only instituted that knas by Garmi and not Groma. So the Ritzvah is taking a very different approach than all the other Rishonim that we quoted. All the other Rishonim that we quoted consider Garmi not really an act of Mazik. Consider Garmi really an act of Mazik. And that's why it's different than Groma. The Ritzvah says that it's really the same, just in certain places, Chazal chose to institute a knas, given the conditions that we have been discussing. And in certain instances, Chazal chose not to make a knas. The Ramban has a whole, Ramban, in explaining Rashi's opinion, says a very bechiddush, that Garmi is chayiv. And not only does Rashi say, says the Ramban hold that Garmi is chayiv, Rashi holds that Groma and Garmi are the same. And when our Gemara says that you chayiv by Garmi, what the Gemara is saying is that not only are you chayiv by Garmi, but you would also be chayiv by Groma, because Garmi and Groma are the same. Says the Gemara, have a uvda. There was a situation of a kafi Rav from Rav Sheish, Rav Ashi, that Rav Ashi, the posh pshat in the Gemara, had burnt somebody else's shtar when Rav Ashi was a youngster, for Agribe, and he forced him to pay for the damage he had done, kikishura letzalma, to pay with the fancy wood that was used at the doorway. So the question is, so the way Rashi explains the Gemara, according to most Rishonim, is that a chatan, even though we learned explicitly earlier in our Masechta, that a chatan pigos and raw, a chatan when he does damage, you can't collect from payment. Rashi is saying that the Gemara here is saying that that is only as long as he's a chatan. But once he becomes a gadol, he will be chayiv. What happened, that's one pshat. The Rosh, and that's the way the Taz says, it's difficult to say that one should be chayiv to pay for what he did when he was a katan. And therefore, they explain that this was lefnim b'shur sadin. Another pshat is that Rav Ashi, of course, never burnt somebody else's shtar. What happened was that such a case came in front of Rav Ashi, where the shtar was burnt by a youngster, and Rav Ashi wanted to say he's potter, and what happened here was that Rafram did not allow Rav Ashi to pass in that way. Rav Moshe, the Shalzachu, Sigris Moshe, Choshe Mishpat Chelik Aleph Sim Peches, speaks about a case if a child if did geneva, what would be the halacha once he becomes an adult? So he says, if what he had stolen is still in existence, then the halacha is that he has to return what he stole before he was bar mitzvah. But if it isn't anymore in existence, then he's not chayiv to pay. V'snim b'shur sadin, he could pay, but he's not chayiv to pay. What happens, says Rav Moshe, if it was in existence after he became a gadol, and then before you have the opportunity to return it, then it got destroyed or burned. So Rav Moshe says it depends how that happened. If it happened ba'oinus, then he would not be chayiv. If it happened shloi ba'oinus, b'gneva v'aveda, he would be chayiv. But I did see that the Sefer Mishpatei Torah suggests that if a parent is aware that a child did something like this, even though, as we just finished saying, one cannot make a child obligated, the parent should try to settle with the victim. Says the Gemara, as we discussed earlier, the Mishnah discussed the case for chametz lovel of a Pesach. If somebody stole chametz and now it's after Pesach, I'm like, you tell him, harei shulcha lefanecha. Man Tana, says the Gemara, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? It says, I'm b'surim hana, even though the food is osur b'hana, you could say, harei shulcha lefanecha. Amar of Chizda, Rav Yaakov, it represents the opinion of Yaakov. Tanya shor shehemis, if an animal killed a person, and that animal is chayiv skila. Actually, nigba dinai, if prior to the animal being sentenced to death, machroi, the owner sells it, machr, it's considered a valid sale. Because, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, you only can be chayiv skila if the owner had the animal at the time of the accident, and at the Shas Hamada Bedin. But if it was sold before that, it's not taken at the Skila. Higdisha, Mugdish. Shachet, if it was geshachted, Besara Mutter. Vechzira Shamel Abalov, and if the owner, and if the person was watching such an animal, gives it back to its owner, it's considered that he returned the object. Mishenigma Dinai, but once it was already paskin that this animal should be taken to Skila, Machra then in a machra, it's too late to be sold. Higdisha in a mugdish, shach the besaroi osur. The meat is osbano. Higzir is shamil abalof. If he gave it back, ain't a mukhsur. Rav Yaakov Omer af mishenigma dinoi, even after it's nigma dinoi, higzir is shamil abalof, and the shamer gives it back, it's considered mukhsur. And the Beis Halevi suggests that what is the machloikis? What is the basis of the machloikis? If something that's osur b'hanah can be considered that it's owned by somebody else, that's still under ownership. My love, says the Gemara, we could say, Reishal chal fenecha. Rabbanan sovra, ain't amr b'sura no, Reishal chal fenecha. Says the Rav, no. Everybody will agree, as our Mishnah indicated, the chametz after Pesach is osur b'hanah, and yet, Amina Basura no Hareshal Khalafanecha. Dim Cain, if that were not the case, why are they only arguing in this case? Nifaku Mechametz Pesach. Ella Amarava says Rabbi, the case is that everybody could say Hareshal Khalafanecha. They didn't argue over that. What is the machlokes? The machlokes is a halacha that's relevant to the animal. And the machlokes is begoyim dinish l'shor shlobifon of kamifki. Can we paskin about an animal when the animal is not there? The rabbanan savri ain goyim the dinish l'shor shlobifon of. So the shomer, by giving it to Bezdin, did the wrong thing. Domele, because the owner could tell the shomer, iaisenele, had you given back the animal to us, having written la agma, we would have taken the animal to a place where the Bezdin cannot see it and get hold of it. Hashta, by you, Mesarte, beyond the mandala mitzina, shtu din by day. You gave it to Bezdin. And by you giving it to Bezdin, you caused us irreparable loss. because now that Beis Din has the animal, and since the animal is going to be paskined to be killed, you caused us irreversible loss. If Yaakov said, the government didn't show fun of, we don't have to have the shah there. Domele, the shaymer could say to the owner, my avdele, saif saif, what, because I gave it to Beis Din? Saif saif, have a gamrele bidinim. I would have, Beis Din anyway, would have paskened that tzchayiv misa, even if it's not there. Says the Chassam Sofer, what kind of a claim is this that you could have said to him that I would have made sure that again give it to Beis Din? Says the Chassam Sofer that what the owners say to him is everybody has to do their job. It's not your job to give it to Beis Din. It's your job to give it back to me. We maybe have to give it to Beis Din, and therefore you'll be held responsible. Says the one, Ashkechai Rabbi Chizdal Rabbi Shmuel, Amalei, Tanis Midi B'Isser Hino. Have you learned anything regarding Hilchos Issuri No? Amalei, in Tanina, I did. The Pasuk says that if somebody stole something from somebody else, and then he swears falsely that he did not, and then he admits that he did, the Pasuk says, V'hoi Kiyechta V'Oshem, V'Heshev Ezekzela Shekzela. So ask the Gemara, why is it necessary for the pasuk to add the word ashegazel? Teaches us shiachse she'en kegazel. It's not enough to return it, but you have to return it the way it was. We can't amru gazel matbei v'nifsel. If you stole a coin and it became and went out of currency, peres v'rekivu, or fruit that got spoiled, yayin v'chichmitz, wine that got spoiled, truma v'nitmes or truma that got tamei, chom tshavol of a pesach. Behema of a nevdeba avera, and now that animal cannot be used for carbon. Shor, actually nigma dinoi, oimalei in all these cases, harei shalchala fenecha. Because it is now like it was when you stole it. Says the Gemara, man shamet leidama actually nigma dinoi in, that only before it was nigma dinoi can you say harei shalchala fenecha. However, mishin nigma dinoi loi, afterwards it's the Rabbanan. And yet with Tani, Chometz Avol HaPesach, Amalei Reish HaChol HaFanecha. So we see from here that the Chum hold, that even by Chometz, we could say HaReish HaChol HaFanecha, because that, and the reason is, and the same thing by Shor, but the reason being, because the owner could tell the Shomer, why did you bring it to Beis Din? Amalei, so Rav Chizda said to Rav Shmuel, Im Mishkachas Lehu Leitem Lo Midi, if you'll find the Bnei Yeshiva, don't teach them this braisa, because they'll clearly see that my understanding of the machlokes of Yaakov Chama was incorrect. We just learned in the braisa, if the peiris were kivu, I'm alei reishal chol fanecha. But as the Gemara, we learned in Amish the peiris were kivu, b'sham k'shas k'sela. Here we're learning you could say reishal chol fanecha. Amra papa, so our papa says, can't you kivu kulam? If they're all spoiled, you can't say reishal chol fanecha. If only Hekivu Mektsason, if some of them got spoiled, the way I saw the Rishonim explain, it's normal that fruit gets spoiled. And therefore, if they're not all spoiled, you could say Reish L'chol L'fanechem. Says the Mishnah, Nosul Umin L'saken, if somebody gave wood to a craftsman to make something out of it, and Kilkalu, and they ruined it, Chayavim L'shalom, they have to pay the value of the keli. Nosin l'charish, if somebody gave a carpet, a shade, a teva, migdal, different types of chest, l'sakin, the kilkel, chayiv l'shalom, the worker has to pay. Similarly, habanai shekivalov listas akoysel, a builder accepted to demolish a wall, the shiba havonim, and he destroyed the stones that they wanted to reuse, oishe zikon, or he damaged, he's chayiv l'shalom, he's responsible. However, if the builder was demolishing the wall from one side, the nafel mitzadecher, and the other side fell down, potter. But if the other side fell down because of what he did, then it'll be chayiv. Arav Asi, loy shonov el shenos l'char shei de teva migdol, where you gave this to a carpenter to linetz b'masamer to make some sort of repair, but not by Mesamer, and as he's doing the repair, Shibron. But let's say, says Rav Asi, Nosen L'Charish, Eitzim lasa sheder teva migdol. You just gave him the raw materials. Vosman sheder teva migdol. And then shibron potter. My tama. Because says the Gemara introduces a new concept. Umen koine b'shvach keli. When I give you something to fix, to something to create, it becomes yours. And it becomes yours, then you only have to return to me the raw material, but not anymore.